Want to join me in Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to get over there here in a few moments. Today is a very special day for our church. We're going to call this message, "It's Time for the Plan of God to Move Forward." It's time for the plan of God to move forward. You know, this year, 2012, it marks, literally in January, it was 5 years since this church started over here on Garfield Road. Of course, this church existed before that for a couple years there at the Holiday Inn in downtown Jamestown. And we came over here to this property with maybe 15 to 20 people at most. And now we've been on this property for 5 years now. Amen. And it's time today to discuss where we are and the things of the ministry, to discuss the things that are ahead of us and where we're going together as a church family. Praise the Lord. You know, me and Pastor Brad, we were talking before the service, and we were talking some things, you know, just regarding, you know, the local church. And it's so true. And we said this, that wherever your church is going, that's where you're going. You know, the future of your church is your future. Amen.
That's right.
And we need to know, you know, where we've come to this point, the things that are ahead of us. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for your church family?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that there's just several people in this room right now that you know what life was before you had a local church. Sometimes we forget what life looked like before Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes we forget to remember what life was and before our local church, before we had a church family and things like that. How many of you are so grateful for where we've come? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, where your church has been, where it's taken you. I mean, think about where we would be without the teaching on faith. I mean, seriously, where would we be without the teaching on divine healing? Where would we be without the teaching of divine peace and divine joy? Where would we be without the teaching of tithing? Where would we be without the teaching of how to cast our thoughts down? Where would we be without the teaching of authority in Jesus Christ to tread upon serpents and scorpions? Think about all those doctrines that you've got in your local church that have literally saved your life. Amen. Some of you remember a time in your life when maybe you were addicted to certain things. Maybe you were someone that was getting drunk on drugs and stuff like that. You know, and you know that it was only by the Word of God that helped you, that saved you, and delivered you out of that and keeps you out of that.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, why don't we just do this? If you're here today, and I'll be standing with you because I'm just testifying myself, but as a means of testimony, if you were someone in your past that you got into things that were maybe addictive, or a time in your life when you used to get drunk or be riddled with depression through smoking dope or just living wrong, if you ever had those experiences in your life and you could testify today and say that it was the Word of the living God that got you out and kept you out, if that's you today, why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet? Hallelujah. If you're one of those folks, look at all these people that are standing. Amen. Praise God. Now, maybe you guys go ahead and keep standing. Maybe the rest of you, if you've been touched by the divine healing message, if you're here today and by hearing that Word of God, your body has been healed in some way by attending a church that preaches on divine healing, go ahead and stand to your feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many more. And how many, I bet the rest of you would probably dare say, if you're walking the closest with God as you ever been, go ahead and stand up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just go ahead and give God a shout of praise here today. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. Praise God. You may be seated. So just so you know that when you attend this church isn't being attended by people that had it all figured out sometime in their past. They weren't just church goody-two-shoes that just go to church because that's their tradition or that's their religion. But we're filled, the people that attend this church are people that have been in the trenches. People that have known the delivering power of God. And they know that it wasn't religion or tradition that saved them, but it was the uncompromised Word of God. Amen. And I look out and I see people that have testified to me about being, you know, free from depression, anxiety. We've had people delivered from basically clinical insanity. That just, it wasn't the pastor of the church. It wasn't because of this building. It was because of the Word of God. Amen. And it's time to discuss. If you're here visiting today, we're really just going to have a family talk today. Amen. And you're going to learn, you know, where we've been and where we're going. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you're going to get a good look at how this church, you know, handles and how we operate in sincerity. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're just at a very critical time here at the church. We're 5 years in. And how many of you know that we've completed a building project now? We're coming up on 2 years being in this building, and the paint still smells new. Amen. I love walking into the sanctuary the first thing in the morning or at night if I'm stopping by the church, and I walk in this room and it still just smells new. Amen. And you can see it's filling up pretty quick. I mean, we just about have the sanctuary filled once over. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's tremendous progress. And it's time that we just, as a church family, that we understand some things and that we're educated and we know what this church is facing and stuff. Because how many of you know it's not a one-man show here?
That's right.
This is a church family.
That's right, right.
We do things together. We come here together. We move forward together.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm just going to let you know where we are. We've completed this this church building. This project was a $3 million project. By the time you figure in all the lawyers' fees, contractor costs, building materials, the issue with the town of Busti when it came to getting our sewage figured out there and all the expenses, it added up to almost exactly $3 million. To this date, we are over $1.1 million paid. That's about 37% there.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, but there are some things that are facing the church now that we're not having any trouble paying any bills. There's no trouble financially with the church. But God is speaking to this church and saying it's time for this church to move forward in some things. We have a couple of things. Can we just bring up the first slide? Do you have those slides ready? Can we just bring up the very first one there? We're just going to give you some information. Don't worry, we're going to preach the word today. Today's not just delivering some info to you, but the Lord's been dealing with me. When I was in California 2 weeks ago, the Lord dealt with me and started speaking to me and saying, get the church on a better financial footing. And it's not because we're not meeting our obligations. It's not because we're not paying our bills. We're meeting all of our monthly obligations. But there are some things that, there's some debts in this church that are kind of trying to hinder the amount of ministry that we can do. Amen. And we want to make sure not to be hindered in anything, you know. The Lord dealt with me and talked about a better financial footing equals more influence. Now, I do want to say this. I am not concerned about offending anybody. If you're here today and you're so concerned that a church is going to bring up finances, well, isn't it funny? I heard this, that someone said the stuck pig squeals the loudest. See, if you just today, if you're someone that is bitter and complains about a church, you know, talking about finances, well, we know what you're guilty of, right? But if you just smile real sweet and nod, no one will ever know the difference, right? If you don't like giving to God, well, that's a heart issue, isn't it? The good news is $1.1 million has been paid. Things relating to this building project, that's 37%, almost 38%. The total cost of the building project was $3 million. Can we go to the next slide? But a better financial footing will equal more influence. God is speaking to this church and say, we've been in a holding pattern for a little while. We've reached a certain level. It's time for the plan of God to move forward.
Yes.
It's time for the plan of God to move forward and to have more influence. How many of you know that more influence? We're after souls being added to the kingdom. We want people to be saved, to know Jesus, to be discipled, to have a pastor. Because all those people that you stood up today, you stood up because you were part of a church that is with the uncompromised word of God. And that there are other people that are going through what you used to go through.
Oh, yeah.
There's people outside these walls that are struggling. There's people that they're addicted and they're miserable. They're contemplating suicide. And their lives are just totally in the gutter. And the only thing that is going to change them for eternity is the word of God. When a church family gets into their life,
yes.
Amen, so that they'll be standing with you the next time when you have an opportunity. There's people out there that right now that are in bed that are miserable with their shades drawn down and they're just miserably and depressed. They're being absolutely destroyed by the enemy. That they have a date with divine destiny when they run into one of you.
Yes.
and you tell them all about the Lord and how their local church helped them to know Jesus and to get closer to God, and you bring them in, and someday they'll be standing right along with you. We have some short-term financial goals. Just to let you know, there's some things. We have, right now, there's two debts that this church is facing that is just kind of, it doesn't represent a large portion of debt, but it represents a large portion of our usable income every month to conduct ministry, all right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to pay debt forever when we could be out winning souls with it, right? We have two debts. Number one, the town of Busdye. I am not here to get political. I'm not here to talk bad about anybody. The town of Busdye, what happened when how many of you know when we went through the sewer issue? And all you saw that stuff in the paper and people were, you know, upset with us building a church. Imagine that. And really, it was just a few families here that were here local and our neighbors that were real upset about the possibility of our sewage system failing and all that, and they really raised the stink. But the town of Busdye gave us permission. But what they did in order to save some of their political hide is that they charged this church $30,000 to hook up to the sewage. They charge a regular home about $10,000 to hook up to that sewer system. This church uses 1/5 the amount of sewage and wastewater that a normal household would use. 1/5 the total wastewater, but yet they charge us 3 times the amount. How many of you know that's unreasonable? Well, how many of you know, but we're not the kind of church where, you know, we talked to them, we told them, we said, listen, that's wrong. That's not right. But when they persisted, we said, that's all right. We got a big enough God. He's just gonna pay it off. We're not going to sit there and squabble and make our names look bad. We'll just pay it off. So up to this date, we have about $21,571 left on that. We are currently paying $833 a month for the next 36 months on that debt. That's almost $1,000. That we could be using for the sake of the ministry. We could be doing outreaches. We could be supporting missionaries. I'm not talking about hiring new staff at the church just to have a bunch of people sitting around. You know what I mean? I'm talking about getting this money out there into our community where people are going to be one to the gospel. The second thing, and probably the more significant thing here at the church, is that we have an outstanding debt with J. Acker Construction. I want to let you know that I'm not here to publicize a contractor, but I'll tell you what, if there is one contractor in this area that is just phenomenal, it's J. Acker. Yes. J. Acker Construction. Do you know that when this church was waiting for the financing from the bank to build this building, that he put up $250,000 of his own company's money? He funded the project. When's the last time your contractor's coming over to remodel your bathroom and say, hey, I know you don't have the money for it, but I'm going to just pay for it myself? He came to me and said, I know God's in it. I know God has us to do this. So we're going to get to work even though you have no way of... He got to work with no promise of being paid. And to this date, we have about an outstanding balance with J. Acker Construction of $278,000. Now, if you look at that and say, ooh, that's a big number, that's not a big number. That represents less than 10% of the overall payment of this building. So it's less than 10%. However, we're paying the Eckerts back because we're good on our word. And we're paying the Eckerts up to $15,000 every month until that debt is paid. The wonderful news is that this church is out of debt by about $20,000 to $25,000 every month. We're making our progress out of debt. 37% of the way there. But we're paying about $15,000 to the Eckerts every month, plus the $833 a month to the town of Busdye. That's $16,000 a month. Now, when you hear those numbers, there's people that they just think that's a staggering thing. But you understand that this church is a church of about 400 people. So think about your family of four or five and the budget that it takes to run a family of four or five. Well, think about the budget that it takes to run a family of 400, okay? It's a lot larger of a budget. So don't get all tweaked out in your mind thinking about $16,000 a month, okay? So that's $16,000 a month of our budget. Imagine if we got those debts knocked out and had $16,000 a month to hold outreaches. And we're going to talk about some vision here, but what if we had $16,000 a month resources to win souls to the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. And that's where God is dealing with me about getting the church on a better financial footing to start knocking out these debts. Because though that debt only represents 10% of this total project, it represents more than half of our monthly operating budget. Literally, we would double our influence. We would double our potential. Literally, double our ability to reach souls by getting those paid out. Amen. Can you go to the fourth slide? Go to the fourth one. These are things that the Lord has put on our heart here to do with that extra operating capital every month. Things, it's time to expand. Amen. I say, well, Pastor Tim, we just got done expanding. No, it's always time to expand. The Lord told Isaiah, he says, stretch out thy cords and thy stakes. Make room for more. Amen. I just want to let you know that this church will never be stagnant. We'll never be sitting around saying, what could we do for God? We're always going to be pursuing until every last soul in our community is saved. There's a mission. There's a mission. And if you don't think that it takes finances to reach souls, well, then you're deceived. It does take finances. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first thing that we could do with that extra $16,000 a month is that we could pay the principal amount of our current mortgage. If we paid off those two debts, we would be 48% debt-free. We would be almost halfway there, and we haven't even been in this building for 2 years yet. Imagine when we get the mortgage paid off. We would then have about $25,000 a month to give to send missionaries. Oh, my goodness. I just think about what it could do for the kingdom of God, and it excites me. We could pay off the mortgage after we'd be halfway there. Glory to God. The second thing that's on our heart here to do is that this church is going to be instrumental in planting other churches. There are other ministries that are going to come directly out of this church. We're going to plant pastors in other cities, whether they're near or far, because God's number one heart is the New Testament church. In our lives, all you people that stood up, your life was changed because of a good local church. So we're going to plant some more churches. How many of you know that there's currently 4 family churches? We have Fredonia, Jamestown, Warren, Pennsylvania, and South Dayton, right? How many of you know there's a lot more to come? A lot more to come. We have a part to play in that. The third thing that I just see in my heart this church is doing is going to be doing some city outreach crusades. I'm not talking about in this church. I'm talking about at neutral locations. How many of you have been to our Good Friday service down at the Reg Linnae? You've been there? This past year, wasn't that a divine move of God? People getting saved, people getting healed. We received testimonies, people sending back how certain diseases, you know, were totally healed in their body. We had a chance to pray for people, lead people to Jesus. I mean, there was hundreds of people down there at the Reg Linnae. And how many of you know we needed to be doing more of that? And the Lord has put this vision in my heart where we would bring in some outside help, people like Reverend Philip Slaughter. There's some others that are on my heart to bring in. And we would conduct a week-long crusade down there at the Reg Linnae about a salvation healing crusade. Amen. How many of you know that day after day, how many of you know that would grow? Yes. And at the end of a week or two, we would have hundreds of people that had given their lives to Jesus. Yes. Well, all that takes finances to rent the building, to pay for these musicians and things to come in who are gifted to help those services and things like that. It costs money to do those things. But man, that is in our hearts to do that. I see people getting healed. I know that this ministry is and will be a miracle ministry. That there will be people that will testify to great things happening in their life. Amen. The fourth thing is the Lord has really had on my heart to expand newspaper and radio. Right now, we're currently on 7 radio stations throughout western New York and northwestern Pennsylvania. Okay, we have a radio program in Erie, Pennsylvania. Gerard, Northeast, Jamestown, Warren, Youngsville, probably a couple that I missed there. We're on several different radio stations. It's time to expand that. We get calls all the time of people that heard those messages and you know, got helped by it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, one of our number one outreaches in this church is our newspaper article. I cannot tell you the amount of mail or the email or the people that talk to us. They just come up. A couple weeks ago, I was in a local supermarket, and I was up there at the customer service desk, and I was paying with a credit card or whatever, and she noticed my name. She said, "Hey, are you the Tim Stallman that writes the articles in the paper?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, and she said, "Let me just tell you." She's like, "Those articles have changed my life." She said, "You are," these were her words. She's like, "You're helping me to live a better life." And she was so grateful. I mean, she had like tears welling up in her eyes and stuff. And I'm thinking, my goodness, and we have a lot of stories like that. People are getting those articles and they believe that God is talking to them through those articles. I talked to a couple representatives. We can put our newspaper article in the Buffalo News. The Sunday edition of the Buffalo News is circulated to 850,000 subscribers. 850,000. I mean, that's almost a million people. Amen. And they say that they would put it in the A section, and they would say statistically about 3/4 of all those subscribers read that A section of the paper. Do you realize that's 3/4 of a million people that would open their newspaper in the Buffalo News? That goes into Canada. That goes down. I mean, that covers a lot of Western New York.
Yes.
We could do something like that with that extra. I mean, we could start reaching hundreds of thousands of people. I have figured it out that through just the statistic that's come back to us through newspaper and radio, that we preach a message through newspaper, radio, and live stream in our services to about 5,000 people every week. 5,000, that's the bare bones number there. 5,000 people. Wait until it's 500,000 people. Now, our goal here is not to make this church famous. It's not to make the pastor famous. We're here to get that word into people's lives. Where someone could come home and their life has fallen apart. They come home from work. They open the front page of the newspaper and there's a Bible article.
Yes.
Talking to exactly what they're going
That's
through.
Right.
Amen. Also, the fifth thing here that the Lord is really starting to deal with me on is that this church needs to have a local television program. A local television program. We need to help teach this community faith. We need people to bump into the word when they're flipping through the channels. And I'm not talking about a TV program that's done with somebody just holding a camcorder sitting and watching the congregation. You know, we're not talking about the public access thing where someone just sat there with some handheld camcorder and you see it on TV and it looks so unprofessional and unexcellent. We need to have excellence.
Right.
And, you know, it takes, of course, finances to produce something like that. You know, I'll tell you what, sometimes you flip those channels and you see people preaching and, you know, it's like a handheld camera and it's all grainy and weird. It almost does more damage than it does good. Because people look at it and they say, that's this all-powerful God.
Come on.
You know, we can't represent God without excellence. Amen. So these are the things that when we have those debts paid off, these are the things we're going to be able to do. Amen. And here, it's real easy today. It's real easy today. You know, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be pushing forward and getting these things paid off. And real simply, without any obligation, without me ever trying to put pressure on anybody, we're just going to ask people to do something big. We're just going to ask people to provide and to give and to sow a seed. Because when you have an opportunity, so many people, you're here today and you're waiting for a way out. You're looking for something to change in your life. What God is going to do is He's going to provide you an opportunity to move the plan of God forward. How many of you know that your future is where your church is going?
Yes.
When you help your church's future, you're helping your future. Amen and amen. Now, are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Say, well, Pastor Tim, what do you mean you're going to ask us to do something big? I'm just going to, I just believe that there's people in the church that are going to step forward, do something like they've never done before. They're going to just give in such a way that we're just going to knock these things right out.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Some of you don't seem so excited. I'll tell you what, you better get excited.
Yes.
What would you rather have, a church that's doing nothing?
No.
Would you rather have a church that's not winning souls? You know, would you rather have a church that just tries to, you know, they sit around and they have committee meetings thinking that that's the advancement of the kingdom of God? They sit around just talk and argue with each other all day long and they think that that's conducting kingdom business. Conducting kingdom business is going out there and reaching the world with the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I couldn't imagine not having a church that was lacking vision. Because if your church doesn't have vision, then it has no fields to sow seed into.
You're right.
I want to sow into that vision.
Yes.
I want to give into that.
That's right.
Are you at Proverbs chapter 11? Let's get into the Word. Know this, I don't ever preach the Word to put any pressure on you, but to let you know your part as a church family member. If you're part of this family, if you love this church, if you appreciate what God has done in your life, your giving will respond to it. And these are one of those messages where the devil would try to tempt me to feel like I'm going to offend somebody. Listen, I'm not being led by that. My job is to preach the Word regardless of how much people like it or don't like it. I'm not going to go with the course of this world. I'm not flowing with the current of this world. Proverbs 11:24. It says this, it says, there is he that scattereth, or gives, and yet increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. Can we bring up verse 24 in the Amplified? Let's just take a look at this in the Amplified Bible. It says, there are those who generously scatter abroad. It's talking about their giving. And yet they increase more. Aren't you glad that scattering causes increase?
Yes.
That means I need a field to sow in, and my local church is the best field to sow into. He says, they scatter abroad, yet they increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want, lack, or poverty. Wow. There are people that they withhold from God, they withhold from their local church, and it tends only to poverty. Martin Luther, the great reformer of several hundred years ago, he made a statement, and man, it is so true. He said, there are three conversions in Christianity. There's a conversion of the heart, there's a conversion of the head, and there's a conversion of the wallet. There's a lot of Christians, they're converted in their heart, but they aren't converted in their giving. They love God, they praise and worship, but man, they don't like to give to Him. Notice, go back to the King James here. It says, there's he that scatters or gives and yet increases, and there is them that withhold more than that is meet or fit. That word meet there, it means equality or representing what you've received. This is what giving is. You can't pay for your salvation. How many of you know that? Money can't get you saved. You can't pay enough money to get saved. Never would we ever say that. You can't pay to get healed. You can't pay to get the grace of God. But when you have freely received from the glory of God and from the Word of God, our giving should equal that or match that out of our deep-seated gratitude of what God's done. I'll tell you what, when I look at what God's done in my life, I am so overwhelmed by His goodness that I want my giving to just honor that. You don't go into a 5-star restaurant and they put a filet mignon and they give you all the goodies and all the stuff that they do there and they have awesome service and whatever, and then they come time, you wouldn't just slap a dollar bill on that table and call it paid. You wouldn't throw a $5 bill on that meal and call it paid. You know, you expect that when you go and you receive something good, that there is, you know, something to equal that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what God said. God said, let your giving, you know, show your value on what you've received from God. This is why so many people, they fail to receive or they lose what they received from God because they forgot to honor it with their giving. They didn't put value on what they've gotten. They didn't put value on what they were taught. They didn't put value on the power and the miraculous working in their bodies. You can't pay for it. But you can certainly honor it. You can't pay for it, but you can certainly value it. Let me ask you, does your giving represent what God has done in your life? as God does more in my life, I'm going to give more. There's no plateau in giving. Because if I withhold more than that is equal or more that is fit, it says it's going to bring poverty. This is why America is being destroyed economically. Because we have not valued and honored our long biblical principles that have made this nation great. The churches of America don't tithe. The people of the world should see our churches and say, my goodness, they are a delightsome land.
That's right, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Isn't that right out of Malachi 3:10? Bring ye all the tithes of the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour out blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not devour the fruit of your land before its time in the field. And what does it say? Verse 12, and all nations shall call you a delightsome land.
That's right, that's right.
Where did the delightsome land come from? Came from tithing.
Yes.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. See, you need to put a value on the blessings that has moved into your life. Praise the Lord. What did Jesus say over there in Matthew 10:8? Didn't he say, as you have freely received, freely give.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, make sure your giving honors what you've received from God.
Yeah, that's right.
Say, well, some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Tim, God has done such awesome things in my life. There's no way I could ever put a price on it. We're not saying put a price. Don't put a price on it.
No, come on.
Put honor on it.
Yes.
Yes. What is honor? How do you honor something? You put it first place.
Yes.
You give it preeminence. You put it in a place to receive that honor, right?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's some three things here, or some things. We might not get to all three. Things that we need to know if we're going to help move forward in the plan of God for our church. And you know what? I'm just going to say this. For whatever reason, whatever this matters, I know this. It's been 2 years since I've spoken to this church about the building program. 2 years. Don't anyone ever dare accuse me of being money-minded in this church. I've talked about it so little, I've probably even hurt people because they would have had a better opportunity to sow and improve their situation. But I've just stayed away from it. For 2 years, I haven't even talked about the building commitment. I haven't talked about our yellow envelopes. I haven't given a sermon on tithing in 2 years.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. So we're going to talk about the things that you can do to help the plan of God move forward. Number one is tithe. Tithe, obey God. And if you're here and you go to another church, tithe there. Maybe you're just visiting with somebody, but you have another church. This isn't a family church doctrine. Every church in America, whether they're Baptist, Methodist, I don't care what name is on their door, Pentecostal, non-denominational, Assembly of God, whatever it is, the people there, if they're loving and serving Jesus, they should tithe.
Yes.
Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. These are the opportunities that we have. What an opportunity we have. That God says it's time for this church to move forward in influence. Go to Deuteronomy 14. I do my absolute best to make sure that my giving represents a value or an honor of what God has done in my life. I'll tell you what. That statement in Revelations where Jesus spoke to the church. And he said, strengthen those things which remain and are about to die. That statement is playing on the inside of my spirit right now. And I know what the Lord means when he's saying that. Strengthen those things that remain, because there's things that are about to die in people's lives because they don't put appropriate honor on what he's done for them. I'll tell you what, you're in covenant with Almighty God. It's a two-way street. He blesses you, you bless him. What's the purpose of tithing? Go over to Deuteronomy 14, and let's read verses 22 and 23. Now, this is what God told the Israelites. And people will try to say, tithing is just an Old Testament doctrine. No, you need to realize Jesus talked about it in Matthew 22.
Yeah.
You need to understand that it's talked about in Hebrews chapter 7.
Yes, that's right.
It's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Actually, it's a pre-Old Testament doctrine too. Yes. Verse 22, it says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed," or thy income, "that the field bringeth forth year by year." Well, many of us, we're not farmers, right? We have jobs that give us a paycheck or whatever. That's our increase. In verse 23, it says, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God." How many of you know that's good? In the place, boy, it almost makes it sound here, you better tithe. If you don't tithe, you're going to have a hard time eating. Meaning, tithing is directly connected to your needs being met.
Yes.
There's people that are struggling unnecessarily because they don't tithe.
That's right. Good word.
"And you shall eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there." Notice God has a place that he's chosen for you.
Yeah.
It's your local church, wherever you know your local church is. The tithe, or the tenth part, or you could say it this way, 10%. The word tithe means 10% of your corn, of your wine, of your oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Why were they to tithe? "That you may learn to fear the Lord thy God always." Literally, the Living Bible says that you may learn to always put God first.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can't learn to put God first until you're a tither.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what tithing is? God instituted the doctrine of tithing. Actually, him and Abraham instituted the doctrine of tithing. But he put the doctrine of tithing in place to give us a way to work out our God first muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He says, because every time you come to church and put your tithe in, you just told God, God first.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Here's my tithe. God first. God first. God first. And you're working that out. And so your life starts to get trained,
yes,
to put God first. He says, you tithe that you will learn reverently for the to fear or to respect the Lord your God always.
Yes.
As I tithe, I'm learning, I'm training to respect God.
That's right, that's right.
If you won't put God first in your finances, you won't put him first in your entertainment.
Oh, wow.
You won't put him first in your marriage. You won't put him first in how you raise children. You won't put him first in your job. See, as you're used to, you know what? As I come in, I'm so used to putting God first financially that when it comes time when I have to choose a form of entertainment, I can say, wait, God first. Because I'm used to training that way. I've been trained to put God first.
That's right. That's right. Good.
God first. God first. God first. What did we do today when you put your tithe in? You told God, you're first. Every time a Christian who knows to tithe decides not to tithe, they're telling God, you're not first. That's the message you send to God. No, Pastor Tim, that's not my heart. No, but it's your actions. And you can't have actions that are different from what's in your heart. That's what the body of Christ is doing today. I know I'm doing this, and I'm doing this wrong, and I'm doing this wrong, and I'm doing this wrong, but that's not what's in my heart. Yes, it is. Jesus said a good tree cannot produce bad fruit.
That's right.
Neither can a bad tree produce good fruit.
Yeah.
Basically, whatever's in your heart is the way you're living.
Yeah.
When Christians say, oh, I have a better heart than the way I'm acting, they're basically saying, I know my fruit is bad, but trust me, the tree's good. Jesus said there's no such thing.
Oh, come on.
If your fruit is bad, the tree's got a problem.
That's
right. And so many people, they don't realize, oh, I know I should tithe, but I don't. But trust me, my heart is right. No, your actions are wrong, which tell you that your heart is wrong.
That's right.
Ooh, out.
Come on.
Are you learning to reverence God? Do you realize that tonight 2 billion people on earth are going to watch a football game? And I'm going to be one of them. And, you know, but I'm going to watch it, but, you know, I'm going to watch it with moderation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and, whoa, and, you know, just go bonkers. First of all, I do have a preference in who I want to win. And it might shock some of you, but I can't tell you my little football secret. All right, I'm going to confess something.
Since today is a day of revelation, I'm going to confess publicly that for the last several years, I have been a closet New England Patriots fan. And they're even in the Bills, same division. I've been a Bills fan my whole life, but until the Bills are even the resemblance of a decent team. I just like winners, okay? I'll tell you what, there's something attractive about winning. You know what I mean? When I say attractive, meaning I'm compelled to like a football team that wins. Someone's going to walk out of here and say, that pastor said he's attracted to Tom Brady. No, I'm not attracted to Tom Brady. I just have to say they're a fun football team to watch. But what I was going to say is that there's 2 billion, a third of all the people on earth are going to be watching a football game tonight. A third of the earth is going to give their attention. Yet everything that goes on in this service today is far more important than that game. It's more important. For you to hear the doctrine of tithing, it's more important. When you dropped your tithe in today, more was done in the realm of the Spirit. More was done eternally than anything that that game's going to produce tonight. You know, the Lord dealt with me about this. At churches, you know, we're told to be in one accord. Right? We're supposed to be in one accord. And a lot of times we can get in one accord with our praise. And we get in one accord in lifting our hands. And we get in one accord in worship. And we get in one accord about shouting and believing in our faith and all this stuff. But what about our one accord with our finances? Have we forgotten? Can you real quickly bring up Acts chapter 4 and verse 32? I wasn't planning on going this way. Some people, they say, well, the early church didn't do any of this. The early church didn't have to discuss finances. Oh, are you sure you've read about the early church? The first Christians that were here? And the multitude of the early church, the believers that believed, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which they possessed was his own. They had all things common. See, when we read Acts 2:1, it says they were all in one place when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all one place in one accord. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place whereof they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, what were they all in one accord with? They were all in one accord in their faith. They were one accord in their praise. They were one accord in their praying. But they were in one accord financially. One accord financially. Amen. Let's go over to another scripture in Deuteronomy. Go over to chapter 8, verse 17. I'm going to bring it up in the Amplified, but let's just read it since we're there. Think of all those people that are going to just worship the Super Bowl tonight. They're going to worship the Super Bowl, and they didn't bring their tithe. They worshiped a game. And they forgot to worship God with a tithe. Yeah, it's going to happen. Deuteronomy 8:17, the King James says, "And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth." Wow. That's what a lot of the earth is saying right now. I earned it. I worked for it. No, I'll tell you what. Have you realized that yet? You've never provided for yourself one day. Whether you're a saint or a sinner, it doesn't matter. You've never provided for yourself. Problem with some American tradition, the one problem with the American dream, is that we've taught men to provide for the home. Pastor Tim, that just sounds so backwards. No, yeah, every man should be working. If you're able to work, get to work.
Yes. That's right.
But don't you take that job and think that you're providing for your family.
Right?
Right? You work and you thank God, say, God, I work because you've given me the ability to work.
Yes.
You've given me the power to work. And anything I get from this job, whether it's minimum wage or a high dog salary, it doesn't matter. God has given it to me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And thou say in thy heart, the Amplified Bible says, beware lest you say in your mind. He says, warning, don't say this in your mind and your heart. Don't say my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Don't you say that. That's a problem with this nation is that we say, well, we earned it. We deserve it. Yeah, look at verse 18. It says, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God is the ability. God is the one that provided you that ability. And every time you tithe, you're saying, God, you provided it.
Yes.
God, you gave me this. God, you provided for me. But every time a Christian doesn't tithe, and they know they should, they are telling God, you didn't provide it. You didn't give it. See, God is only going to increase when he knows that he's going to get the glory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good word. Good.
But when you tithe, you're not bringing God any glory from the substance of your job.
Right.
I'm going to make this statement. I'm just talking straight from my heart. I'll tell you what. Just as means of an illustration, if I could do one last thing before I left this earth and go to heaven, it would be to pay my tithes.
Yeah. Good.
It would. It literally, I mean, knowing what I know about the scripture, it puts the fear of God in me to think about spending my tithe on me.
Oh, man.
Some of you that are just, you know, you got that revelation of tithing. I mean, it just down, I would never cut off the power between me and God. And when you fail to tithe, you have severed the power line from you to God. Oh, yeah. Every time you don't tithe, you're telling God you didn't provide it. Your might didn't get me this. My might got me this. You ready? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to be here till about 3 p.m. today. I'm kidding. Maybe 2. How many know it's just good to be taught the word? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Where would our lives be without the tithing message? I couldn't imagine not being able to tithe in my local church. There was a time in my life I got up in front of a church. I repented at the altar and from in front of a church I was a leader in because I wasn't tithing. Where did I tell you to go? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now let me read you a scripture. This is the word of the Lord, verse 13. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus, says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, that means on the earth, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. He said, this is sore, painful evil that afflicts mankind. They hold on to a form of riches that they were supposed to let go of, and it hurt their life.
Yeah.
Some Christians, they wonder why they're hurting. Well, they've held on to something that belongs to God.
That's right.
They don't tithe faithfully. Riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Well, how's the first way you do that? If you keep the tithe, you're keeping riches or money to your own hurt. That tithe now hasn't become a blessing to you. It's now become a cancer to you. It's going to eat away your life. It's going to destroy your life because you won't bring it to God. There's other times when people keep their riches. I'll be honest with you. When you know your local church has a need and you don't help provide that, you're keeping back those riches to your own hurt because you just told God, not now.
Ooh, come on.
Sorry, God, not now. People do it. Go down to verse 19. It says, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. Notice God does not have a problem giving riches and wealth. He has no problem with you having something nice. But I tell you what, every time a man is increased, either God gets a partner or a man loses his soul.
Right? Jesus said over there in Matthew 16:26, said, what will you, he said, what is a man gained if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will you give in exchange for your own soul? Right? When God, I'll tell you, I look across this church, I see people that God has increased. Increased financially. Obviously, financial prosperity is the lowest form of prosperity. He's increased you in your family, in your joy, in your peace, in your health, and yes, in your finances, in your job. Why does God increase us so we can be a blessing to what He's doing on this earth? Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof. Can we bring this up in the Amplified? The verse in the Amplified really goes a lot further. It says, also every man to whom God has given riches and possessions and the power to enjoy them. This is such a key fact to tithing. It's not about how much or how little you have. It's not about what you have. It's about, do you have the power to enjoy it? I don't care if your car is brand new, if it's better than everyone else's car, but do you have the power to enjoy it? Have you ever wondered why there's so many people in this world and they're rich financially, they're rich in material possessions, and yet they're miserable? They have riches and wealth, but they have no power to enjoy it. The same thing goes too with impoverished people. You know? They say, well, they're impoverished, but you know what? They could still be given a power to enjoy even what they do have. The reason why people don't increase out of poverty is because they never develop an appreciation for what they do have.
Good word. Come on.
You can find one good thing and you can thank God for it and qualify yourself to be trusted with more.
Yes. Good word.
Yeah. To every man whom God has given riches and possessions and the power to enjoy them and to accept his appointed lot and to rejoice in his toil or his work, this is the gift of God to him. It is the gift of God. For example, praise the Lord. I don't have a brand new car, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm driving a nice, you know, respectable car. It's 6 years old. It has over 100,000 miles on it, and there's some people that are driving something way nicer than what I'm driving. But I don't get into my car and look at something nicer and say, man, I just can't stand this car. I get into it and I say, thank you, Lord, for the power to enjoy this car.
Yes.
So this is a blessing. This is good.
Amen.
Amen. And then when the day comes, that, you know, when I get into a newer car or whatever, I'll have the power to enjoy it.
Yes.
Why? Because tithing is the first step to enjoying what God has given you.
Yes.
Because you said, God first, God first, God first. He says, now I'm going to give you the power to enjoy what you have. That's what people are missing. They don't have the power to enjoy what God has brought into their life. I have a little sector of woods out behind my house, and I go walking back there. I'm telling you, God has given me the power to enjoy it. Even though my neighbors both have way bigger properties than me, I got the power to enjoy it. Hallelujah. It's not about what you have. It's about, do you have power to enjoy it? And you will never learn to enjoy what comes into your life until you first put God first, right?
Amen.
That's what tithing is. It's the ability to honor God, and He in turn gives you power to enjoy. That's why you don't want to increase. You don't want to get wealthy apart from tithing. Because you'll have, the Bible says, the more you have, the more troubles you'll have, because God won't give you the power to enjoy it. Oh, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you a partner with God? Why does God increase you? So that you guys will be in partnership together. If you increase without being a partner with God, you'll put your soul at risk. I'll just tell you, you will. Because you can't love possessions more than God and expect to stand before Him in confidence someday. When a man increases, either God gets a partner or the man loses his soul. I tell you what, God's going to gain my partnership.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll end here. The second thing we can do is we can give offerings. We need to tithe and give offerings. We need to be faithful to God. I'll tell you what, if you want to participate in the world's economy, go ahead. Go ahead. You know, some people have asked me, say, you know, is it amazing how much people are looking for a scapegoat to get out of the tithing thing? Well, Pastor Tim, I get a Social Security check. Surely I don't tithe that. You don't? No, but at Social Security, I don't have to tithe that. And someone gave me some money, and they wanted me just to have it for myself. I don't tithe that. And why are you always looking for a way out of the way that God designed to bless you? Well, I don't have to tithe this. I don't have to tithe that. I don't have to tithe that. You know, people say, I tithe my time. Well, good that you serve God with your time. But what if you did that with other things spiritually? I pray by going to church. No, you're supposed to go to church and pray. You're supposed to give God your time and bring your tithe.
That's right.
Don't make one thing represent another.
Right.
Don't say you're, you know, fulfilling one obligation by doing another obligation, right? Oh, glory. Go to 2 Corinthians 8, and we're going to start in verse 1. People have asked me, say, well, I have a business. Well, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, but I don't tithe my business. You don't tithe your business. Well, you have just signed the death warrant to your business. I will guarantee you two things are going to happen. Either the devil's going to prosper you and let your business take you out of God. I've seen people that the devil has prospered them to get them away from church. And then just when you think things are high and good and you've put your security in money, then it's all going to come crashing down. You say, oh, I don't tithe my Christian business. Well, then your business isn't a Christian business. Just because you have a business and you're a Christian, don't make it a Christian business.
That's right. That's
what makes it a Christian business is that it supports Christianity.
Yes.
A tithe, a business should tithe. A church should tithe. Our personal lives, we should tithe. Our business should tithe. Everything. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, let's read it in the Amplified. It says, we want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor and spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give alms. People say, I want the grace of God to come on me. I want to be healed in my body. I want my marriage restored. I want my kids healed. I want God to help me. I need the grace of God. Well, they failed to define what the grace of God is. The grace of God is evident in somebody when they're inspired to give. The grace of God isn't just what you get. It's what you give. The grace wasn't on them because God performed a miracle in their life. The grace was on them because they gave. You want to increase, you can't pay for grace. You can't go to God and say, okay, I'm buying grace today. But you can certainly release that grace by your giving.
That's right. Yeah.
We want to tell you further about the grace, the favor. People say, I want favor, I want spiritual blessing, and then they don't give. They may have been converted in their heart, they've been converted in their head, but they weren't converted in their wallet. Verse 2 says this, for in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, this Macedonian church gave of their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. They gave in the midst of a bad economy. They gave in the midst of a personal financial crisis. See, these Macedonians, they must have understood, wait a minute, I have an opportunity to give. This is my way out.
Yes, that's right.
They weren't going to withhold more than this fit. Verse 3, it says, "For as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily." Imagine if Christians gave above their ability, meaning they put their own lives at risk to give to God. See, that's what the devil will tell you. You can't give that. You can't give that. Because if you do, you're going to put your family at risk. Since when did you ever put your family at risk obeying God? No, you're going to put your family at risk by disobeying God. Amen. Tithes and offerings. Notice this is an offering. This wasn't a tithe to a church. This was something above and beyond the tithe as a special need arose.
That's right.
They gave above and beyond their ability.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is the second thing. This is the season that this church is in. I am not making a checklist of church names. I'm not going to be checking who gives what and who didn't give what. But I'm just going to ask this church, the people that you know that this ministry has the ability to change lives, I'm going to ask you as a church family to respond and do something above your ability. Now, since everyone is at a different place, I'm not going to look at who gives what. I never have done that. I never will. You know, so to speak, I don't go and say, well, I noticed so-and-so, I better check up on them and make sure they're with it. No, that's between you and God. I don't have staff members that come to me and report about who gives what. I have no idea. I'm just assuming that everyone would want to obey God.
Yeah. My goodness.
I'm just thinking the best of everybody. I just think, well, my goodness, here's an opportunity to obey God. So basically, you know, in this season that we're in, to move this plan of God forward, let's get those debts knocked out. Basically, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask the church if you'd like to participate in a one-time special gift that would be above and beyond what you normally would do. Again, it's totally up to you. You can pray about it. You can decide. But I know for myself personally is that my wife and I have talked about it. We're going to get together something that we've never given before. It's going to be the biggest seed we have ever sowed in our life because we know that there are souls attached to the seed. I'm not thinking about me. I'm not even thinking about the natural building and the debt and things. I'm thinking about those souls that are out there. There are people in this room right now that have the ability to do something amazing for God.
Oh yeah.
There are people that are sitting here right now that could. There's also people sitting here right now that, I mean, I don't know what amount. It could be $50. It could be $100. That would be absolutely the best thing you've ever done for God. And that might be a high percentage of sacrifice for you, and God's going to reward that according to the level of sacrifice, not according to the amount. You know, I was sitting one time with a multi-millionaire, and he was telling me about his heart to give and stuff, and don't take this the wrong way. I wasn't trying to be critical or judgmental. And he was telling me, he was saying, you know what? I'm going to get to the day where I'm going to give 30% of my income to God, is what he said to me. See, I got to be careful. I actually didn't mean to tell you the amount. But he said, I'm going to give you, my goal is to get 30%. He's like, because I'm a millionaire. Millionaire giving 30%. Well, praise God for millionaires who give 30%. But I know a lot of Christians who aren't millionaires who give more than 30%. Absolutely. I'm sitting there thinking, well, kudos to you, brother, but just because you're a millionaire who gives 30%, God's going to reward the non-millionaire who gives more than that, more than he's going to reward the... It's about the level of sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's not the level of amounts.
No, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But we need to move along as a church family, and we just need to get together and just hammer these things out.
Yeah.
And we just do something that we've never done before. Amen. According to your ability, and yea, according to the word, above your ability. Now, people might ask me, well, Pastor Tim, aren't you concerned? See, you know why? Do you hear that holy hush right now? Because the devil is telling everyone's mind that, uh-oh, something's going to be subtracted. You can never be subtracted giving to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple things that I need to explain. You know, it's been 2 years since I've explained the building program. You know, every day you might have been in this church for a year or whatever, never heard it really explained. But we have yellow envelopes here at the church that just represent
people's building commitments. This commitment started 4.5 years ago when we just knew that God would have us to build a building. And what we did is we came to the church and we said, if people could make a weekly commitment above and beyond their tithe to help pay for the new building. And several people responded. And there's some options on there. Please understand that those options are not mandatory. They just give you an idea of what your giving is doing. Okay? And what we've done, we've asked people to commit weekly to something that they know they can do financially. Maybe you've come to this church after the building is built and you think, oh, I missed that. No, this building is still being built. It's being built on paper at the bank's office. So that would be a weekly thing that you could do. If you have not yet made a building commitment, it would greatly help the plan of God for us to do so. And here's the second thing we're going to do. Just in terms of this one-time thing, we have made up some special blue envelopes that are just going to be, over the next couple of months, we're just going to ask people to take one of these blue envelopes home, pray about it. If you don't want to participate, that's between you and God. No one's going to say anything to you. No one's going to know. It's not about embarrassing folks. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to take one of these blue envelopes and to take it home, pray about it, and over the next couple of months, or maybe you'd be ready next week even. It doesn't matter, whenever you want to get it in, but you're just going to listen to God. I know the Lord has dealt with me saying that there's going to be people that are going to just do incredible things. And we're going to move in such a way that we're going to get these debts hammered out and start expanding our ability to win souls. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what we're going to do here today, when we dismiss service, there's going to be a couple of ushers back there at the back door. They're going to have these blue envelopes. And as you choose to, as you walk out, grab one if you want one. Okay? There's no, you know, pressure. There's no hurriedness. We got all the time in the world for you to go home, seek God, you know. Yep. Know the state of your finances. Decide what you want to sow. Yeah. Decide what you want to reap. You know, every time you decide what to sow, you're deciding what to reap. Yes. Amen. But folks, this isn't anything special to this church. Every ministry that is moving forward in the plan of God has to talk about these things as a church family. You know? And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be just converted in my heart and my head only. I'm converted right down to my wallet. Hallelujah. Obey God in the tithe. If you don't go to this church, obey God in the church you go to.
That's right.
Bring an offering before the Lord. The Bible says that no man should appear before God empty-handed.
That's right.
Yeah. And then if you could help in this special time, help. Help your church family. Help reach those souls. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're here and you're visiting this church today, you're getting just a good look at, how we handle what is otherwise a difficult situation. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pressure on a pastor when you know you're going to teach a message like this. The devil's attacking you. Oh, you're going to have visitors there. They're going to think you're money-minded. The people are going to be offended. There's people that are going to leave your church. You can't minister. There's no way you can be a good pastor without challenging the people. Obey God. Watch them bless you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Just remember these envelopes will be at the back door as we dismiss. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we think about what we give God. Have you thought about what He's given you?
Yeah.
Have you remembered that He gave His Son? Have you remembered that He's delivered you from the dominion of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son of salvation and healing and peace and joy and provision? Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done for you? So many times we get so offended thinking about what people are asking us to give. Think about what God was required to give. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down, who for the joy, right? Endured the cross, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Think about Jesus had to endure the cross.
That's right.
Jesus didn't face a firing squad. He would have been dead in a minute. He didn't face the electric chair. He didn't face a gas chamber. He didn't face a beheading,
All those things would be relatively quick. He had to endure as he sat there and lived in the human flesh and took all the sins and sicknesses of the world, all the negative emotions. He took every form of grief and sorrow. That's what he endured for us. So to be asked to participate in an offering, it's so small. And if you can't get over that, I'll tell you what. You have forgotten what God has done for you. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Father. We are excited for what you're doing in our midst. Father, we're excited that you've said to us, it's time to move forward in the plan of God. And Father, if there's things required of us as a church family to get together and provide for the house of God, that doesn't depress us, that excites us. Father, we're so grateful that we have fields to sow into, vision to sow into. Father, that we can give towards things that will bring souls into the kingdom of God. Father, such a great opportunity. Father, thank you, and we'll respond. Father, we'll be like the Macedonia church. We'll give above our ability. Even if it looks like it put ourselves at risk, that's fine. Lord, be happy to do it. We've done it before as a church. We'll do it again. I'll do that. The Lord would have me to say to you, just remember that this won't be the first project that you'll be asked to be involved with. Is that if you're going to be part of a church that is going to go and move and be on the cutting edge of what the kingdom of God's doing, there will be many projects. There will be many projects. There will be many opportunities to give and to be generous. There'll be many times when you'll be asked to participate as a church family. So don't get into sorrow. Don't get grudgingly. Don't get stingy, because this won't be the first time. It won't be the last time that you'll be asked to give. Lord, I've obeyed you. I've delivered the message. Father, I thank you for it. And now, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We're going to be tithers. We're going to be givers. Because the kingdom of God needs us to be.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, before we dismiss today, again, like I said, have you considered what God gave to you? If you're here today and you could honestly say in your heart, I don't know if I'm even right with God. Let me tell you this, money can't get you right with God. You can't buy salvation with a gift. God gave the gift to you for free. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. So if you're here this morning and you can honestly say, Pastor Tim, I've never given my life to Jesus. I'm not going to call you up and ask you to perform a ritual. I'm not going to have you light a candle. I'm not going to have you chant some vow as a ritual. I'm not going to have you, you know, take communion or something just as a form of ritual. There's so many people out there that they think that those forms of religion are going to save them. I'm not asking you to perform a religious ritual. I'm asking you to give your life to Christ. Give your heart to Him. Where you desire to be right with God, a desire to have eternal life, a desire to put Him first. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a decision in your heart that God's after. He's after your motives and your decisions. It's not about ritual with God. So if you're here today, and if you're wondering about your eternal destiny, if you were to die today, would you be in heaven or would you be in a place called hell? Hell is a real place. It's not here on this earth. It is a place that Jesus said is filled with torment, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. But I got good news for you. Heaven is real. And you don't have to go to hell. Jesus died and rose again to make a way for you to go to heaven. And if you're uncertain today, well, get certain. Call upon the Lord. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to hand you a microphone and put you on the spot or anything. I'm going to let you sit right there in your chair, eyes closed, heads bowed. But if you need to ask Jesus in your heart today,
I'm going to ask you to lift a hand, take a step towards God. If that's you and you know you need Jesus in your heart, could you lift your hand now? I will then have you put your hand right back down. I see that hand, thank you. I'll have you put your hand right back down, and we'll all pray a prayer together, and you can ask Jesus to be in your life right there from your chair. But if that's you and today you'd like to know that you're right with God, please lift your hand. Please respond. Is there anyone that you know you need Jesus in your life? Invite him in. It's what God gave to you that's the most important thing. We're just inspired to be givers because God was the first and ultimate giver. Is there anybody else? Well, we did have a hand. If you lifted your hand today, I'm going to ask you just to pray these words out of your mouth. Speak them directly to God. Let's all pray it together. Everyone say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. I call upon your name. I am now saved. I am now a child of God. I will live for you. I will please you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are excited to see where this church is going? Yeah. Folks, this is just 5 years of being on this property. Just 5 years ago, there was 20 of us. Just 5 years ago. How quick did that go? You know what I mean? How quick is the next 5 years going to go? Let's do all that God has for us in these next 5 years and beyond. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you made Jesus your Lord, I tell you, find one of these cards, fill it out, and give it to somebody before you leave. Don't be ashamed of the Jesus you're asking to save you. Declare him before men that he'll declare you before the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you were helped by the Word of God today? And if you were one that got corrected, just say, ouch, hallelujah, now I know what to do.
That's right.
God's never trying to hammer you over the head. He's trying to lift you up to take you to new places.
Right.
Let's stand to our feet. Our mind's been renewed today, hasn't it?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and say it. One, two, ready, go. My mind is renewed. I will live for Christ. In the face of trial, I will say, greater is God that's in me. In the face of financial hardship, I will declare, I have a supply. Every trial only serves to make me stronger. I have victory in Christ. I am a champion through God, and nothing shall make me afraid. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you. We worship you. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be a part of a ministry that's winning souls. And Father, whatever's required of us, we're happy to do. Because, Father, we can never lose by being generous to you. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. The membership class. So if you're signed up for the membership